Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The unofficial beginning of NFL free agency underway yesterday, and it was quite eventful yesterday, both for the Titans and around the league. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's going on, gents? How you doing today?
We are doing wonderful, Charles. Hope you are as well. And Charles, Titans fans pretty excited today with Bud Dupree coming in and Danico Autry as well on that front there for the Titans defense. What do you think of those moves by John Robinson and the Titans with Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, and how much does that help them on that side of the ball heading into this next season?
Well, you know, Dupree, as long as the health is where it needs to be, you know, I think it's a good signing. One of the things that I thought was interesting about Dupree is when, so I have an all-pro vote and, you know, defensive player of the year, MVP, all these things. And when I made some calls on defensive player of the year and I asked about TJ Watt, you know, a couple of teams, you know, told me they could see a pretty significant difference in how easy it was to deal with him with Bud Dupree off the field. Now, I'm not saying it was easy to deal with him, but they said, you know, look, it was a completely different scenario, you know, once Bud Dupree was off the field for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think one of the things that you saw manifest was the Cleveland Browns playoff game, you know, and how Watt was kind of contained. And I think they had a much easier time dealing with Watt once they you know, didn't have to factor in Bud Dupree. So I think if the health is there, you know, you've got your number one pass rusher, and he can make, you know, other guys better on that defense, particularly from a pass rushing standpoint. You know, I think the idea is that Autry would be one of those guys. I think Autry's a good signing, you know, low risk, I think cost effective. You know, Dupree's the one where you're really rolling the dice there. And I would tend to think that this is going to affect where they would go with Clowney, but I will say this about Clowney, better guy when there is a second, and I know some people argue, well, he's better when J.J. Watt wasn't on the field for the Texans. I don't think that's really the case, particularly if you had talked to the Texans around that time. I think Clowney's a better guy on the field if he's got somebody to compete with in that room and you know, in there with him. Now, again, you sign Dupree and Autry, and I don't think Clowney becomes necessarily as much of a priority to return, but I actually think those three guys in the mix together, you probably get more out of Clowney, but I think cost is going to be, you know, one of the things on Clowney that's going to be kind of interesting and who pursues him. But I think it's a good start for the Titans. It sucks to lose, you know, Jonnu Smith and obviously Corey Davis, but seeing the deals that they got, you know, knowing the availability of wide receivers, particularly in the draft right now, you're getting a flood of wide receivers and guys that can be productive right away. I kind of get that. I think you're seeing it with Kenny Galladay and, you know, some of the other wide receivers that are getting plucked off the market are more kind of, they're being done at deals where you can see teams are sort of bargain shopping a little bit. You see who the Patriots with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. I get sacrificing the guys that they sacrificed, although, you know, it's too bad about Jonnu Smith because that was a guy that I think they really had super high hopes for, but the deal that he signed in New England is, you know, it's a top level tight end deal, and that's, you would expect them to expect him to max out there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, calls Clowney, not everybody, but some people on this station call Clowney Joe's Clowney. I mean, after that, yeah. I might call him C-Rob's Clowney after that. But, man, I'd be shocked. But, hey, I guess crazier things have happened with that guy. But speaking of New England, Charles, so Schefter's got Hunter Henry, 3 years, $37.5 million to go with Jonnu, to go with everything else they did. Like, is Bill Belichick the middle-aged man buying a Ferrari to compensate for other issues? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I think you can see part of, you know, what New England's doing. I mean, first off, their number one need is quarterback there, but they addressed it by, you know, bringing Cam Newton back at least as a bridge, you know, with a bridge style type of deal. Okay. And I think the thought process in New England is maybe we didn't get the best out of Cam, you know, and if we turn this into a very, you know, tight end driven, well, first off, I mean, I think they see that the mismatches that are out there for them, tight end mismatches, you can chop up defenses, you know, pretty well, particularly if you can put two pass catching tight ends on the field at the same time. You know, teams have a really hard time rolling the right corner onto one of those guys and then having the right linebacker on the other. And so, you know, you can see sort of what they're doing. I think they're taking the offense. They're trying to, you know, pull it in a little bit. It's going to be a little more compact. I think they're going to run the ball a heck of a lot when you see what they've done with the offensive line, bringing in Trent Brown, getting rid of Marcus Cannon. And this is going to be a more run-oriented, tight end-oriented offense that they're trying to dial up here. But I think part of the reason why they're doing that is because if Cam becomes the guy that they end up leaning on, okay, great. You know, they stick with the Cam plan, and they, I think they would draft a rookie wide receiver, or excuse me, a rookie quarterback, and try to build out from there. You know, even the wide receivers, you know, you got your X and your Y with Nelson Aguilar and then, you know, Kendrick Bourne. But again, I think those are very much bargain shopping kind of deals, the money that they spend on those guys, particularly the commitment. And, you know, it's just he's spending a lot of money on a lot of different guys, the Patriots are. And I don't think they're really, other than, you know, they blew out Matt Judon, you know, somewhat. That's kind of what he does defensively. He clearly spends more money defensively than he does offensively. Welcome to Bill Belichick. But you know, I don't know what to say. They got to resolve the quarterback. Like, to me, we can talk about all these different deals and the money that they're doling out, but really it comes down to what can they get out of the quarterback. And Brady's not there. Brady clearly made a difference. And, you know, being able to solve the quarterback position now is, I think, going to be the thing that defines Bill Belichick post Brady. And we always knew it was going to be that way, but you can spend a gajillion dollars on all these different guys. And if the quarterback's not right, that's all anybody's going to be talking about there.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, speaking of Tom Brady, it looks like the Buccaneers, for the most part, going to be able to keep the band together. Shaq Barrett re-signing yesterday, a 4-year, $72 million deal, with a cap hit coming in this year at somewhere under $6 million. So impressive finagling that the Bucs have been able to do. How have they been able to do this, and what do you think of their chances bringing back a lot of the same group heading back next year?
Well, Brady giving back the $19 million this year, and I mean, when I say giving back, kicking it down the road for them, you know, I don't think there's any question that that helped them considerably. But I think it's remarkable that they were able to tag Chris Godwin, who, now that I kind of see what's going on with Kenny Galladay, I still think Godwin would have been in a different echelon. I kind of question whether Godwin would have gotten the, you know, $18 million deal that I suspected he would have gotten in free agency. And again, I do think he separates himself from some of those guys just from a speed standpoint. But to be able to tag Godwin, Levante David, the 2-year, $25 million deal was a sub-market deal. I think he would have done better in free agency, particularly with teams kind of looking for linebackers of that type. And then Shaq Barrett, I think even that deal, slightly sub-market, you know, in terms of a lot of teams out there needed pass rushers. A lot of them, it's sort of a desert, you know, with pass rushers, and that's part of why Judon got the deal that he got from a team like New England. But, you know, Rob Gronkowski coming back into the fold, I think Antonio Brown, I suspect Antonio Brown ultimately will. So to me, you take all their biggest guys, and just to get all those free agents back is just monumental. Now, they have a lot of work to do. They have a ton of, you know, mid-level and sort of what you would call small ball free agents to deal with now, and they're going to have to really, you know, jump through some hoops. And I still think there could be some restructuring there with a couple of guys to try and sign some of the lower tier free agents. What's interesting with Tampa is, now, do you have any mid-level free agents? Once we get to the second tier free agency, some veteran guys who sit there and go, man, I'm not getting the money I thought I would get. You know, I don't want to lock myself into like a 3-year deal or even some of these 2-year deals that are being offered to me. Maybe I do a 1-year deal with Tampa, sort of how Shaq Barrett did when he left Denver, and bet on myself, go hopefully win a championship with Tom Brady, get some shine on me, and then go into free agency in 2022 and hit it big. I think that's what's going to be interesting here, is to see whether or not they can land some odd bargain deals in the second tier of free agency with some veterans who aren't necessarily getting the money that they thought they would.
All right, can't have you on without you know, the weekly Watson wins.
You can add Russell Wilson to that now too, because man, I'm telling you, that one's getting a little. There's a little more to the Russell Wilson thing than that's continued to develop. And you know, with Watson, I actually think that sort of impacts. Russell Wilson impacts Watson's situation. And the reason why, so Russell Wilson, I think if he would open the teams that he would be willing to be dealt to, he has that no trade clause. If he would be willing to include Miami and the New York Jets, I think there's a chance that, you know, somebody could put together a package that might actually pique the curiosity of the Seattle Seahawks. And I think that team's probably the Jets. And, you know, if you take the Jets off the board with Deshaun Watson, I mean, it sort of develops into a Miami or bust situation, unless, you know, San Francisco just goes crazy with Deshaun Watson and throws some players into, you know, a huge package to go get him. But what's interesting with Russell Wilson is that I think from talking to people in Seattle, it sure sounds like they would be open, if the package was right, to dealing him. And you know, maybe Russell Wilson's camp now is sort of like, well, maybe we'd be open to opening up the number of teams that he would be willing to be dealt to. And what's interesting is that the tail end of the conversation with both of those sides is they're both sitting there going, we don't really know how to put it back together again if he were to return with Seattle. There's just these trust issues that now, you know, have developed in both camps, and both parties feel sort of burned by the other one. In terms of some of the media leaks, and they're sort of shrugging, going, yeah, I don't know what it would look like to try to get us back together now. And so all it really takes is Russell Wilson going, hey, you know what? You want to deal me to the New York Jets? Fine. You know, open that up, and then we'll see what package the Jets offer, you know, to the Seattle Seahawks. So in a weird way, I kind of feel like Russell Wilson jumped in front of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's going to push out to the draft. We'll see it, I think, resolve itself closer to the draft, whereas Russell Wilson, I think, either with Chicago or with the New York Jets, is something that if it was going to happen, is going to pop probably in the next, you know, 2 weeks.
Corey Davis knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
I'm like, what are you doing, Jets? But he knows. He's getting one of those two guys. He's going to be fine.
We'll see. I think he took, you know, decent money that was on the table for him. And, you know, a whole heck of a lot of targets. He should get a million targets, you know, with the Jets, regardless of, you know, who the quarterback is. But I'm just telling you, I think if the Jets are sitting there and they're like, look, if Russ is willing to come here, we're willing to, you know, make a package offer for him, you know, to potentially get this done. And, you know, the Bears are still in the mix there too, but I feel like the Bears would have to gut themselves. You know, player-wise, they'd have to throw some players in there to really, you know, get Russell Wilson off the Seattle Seahawks. I never thought the Seahawks would consider trading him, and I think part of the value that they see in retaining him, beyond the fact that, you know, he's an MVP-caliber quarterback playing in his prime, they're sitting there going, hey, we're paying him like $36 million a year for the next 3 years. That's actually a pretty good deal all of a sudden in the NFL. It's not so bad when, you know, considering the deal Dak Prescott just did. So yeah, but it's wild. You know, you just see the Seattle Seahawks sitting there, and they are clearly feeling like, you know, Russell Wilson put some stuff out there about Pete Carroll and some of the players on offense that feels damaging to them, and they're not quite sure how that would fix, or how they could fix the chemistry in the locker room if he were to come back. It turned into a really weird situation there, and all of a sudden Deshaun Watson's sitting here going, hey, some of these teams that I depended on really getting involved here with me are now looking at Russell Wilson and going, you know, knocking on the door.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Charles, we appreciate you taking time to join us on a big show for us today. We're streaming live on YouTube and on Twitch, so that means people get to see our beautiful faces. So thanks for being a part of the show on this historic day.
Joe's gonna like tank YouTube. I you told me this Who owns YouTube? It was like Google, right?
I just sold
Google stock this morning.
hey, have you seen the Wombo app, Charles?
Jeez.
I'm going to find a picture of you from college and put – you'll see.
Yeah.
We'll get you all hooked up.
I'll tweet you the video. I had
Google the Wombo app.
Great.
All right, guys. We'll
Charles, we'll talk to you later. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Charles had to say there and continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.